Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I guess we're ready to go. Anyway, had a couple of shows earlier this morning on goats and sheep, and we were quoting from Matthew, where Jesus is talking in a parable about goats and sheep, and he is using them as a metaphor and talking about gathering all the nations and dividing them as a shepherd divideth goats and sheep. We talked a little bit about the nature of sheep and goats, and I have a little bit of expertise in those areas. And this is in Matthew 25:32. And he divides the sheep over, and he calls them the righteous, and he divides the goats over, and he says they are going to go to eternal fire and damnation, and whatever that all means. Now, some of this is metaphor, and some of this is clearly saying that whatever it is, the quality that makes the sheep of the shepherd, and the goats not, is something we want to try to take out of this parable and understand it. And Christ was always asked by the apostles, why do you speak in parables? And he says, it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but it's not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And so, anyway, in the earlier shows, we were revealing some of those mysteries about the full armor of God and that sort of thing. But even when I explain these things, a lot of people aren't going to get it, because you don't really get it by the knowledge of men. You cannot really understand the mysteries of the kingdom by plucking knowledge from the tree of knowledge. You have to understand it by revelation. And revelation comes in steps. You are shown something, and Christ shows this in another parable where he gives somebody 3 denarii and another one 2 denarii. Actually, I think there were talents, 3 talents and 2 talents and 1 talent. And the one who did something with the 3 and made it more, and the one who did something with the 2 and made it more, they were good. But the one who did nothing with the talent he was given, even though it was only 1 talent, and just buried it, he had the talent taken away from him. So it's kind of use it or lose it. In other words, if God gives you some understanding about something, you need to find a way to apply that understanding. This is very important if you're going to grow in the ways of the kingdom and understand the righteousness of the kingdom. I know some of the people that have come on the show and afterwards have taken steps in their lives. They saw certain things and they took steps to share them with other people, and then more things were revealed to them. If they had not taken those steps to share them with others, they wouldn't know what they know today. There's a process, left foot, right foot, I talk about, where you learn and understand, but then you act upon what you understand. Very important. And so, bearing that in mind, you need to take whatever it is that you begin to glean from some of our talks and apply it. And one of the ways to do that is in the Living Network, where you connect with other people. Of course, you can do it with anybody, but Christ preached a kingdom. He did not preach a scattered flock, and that's one thing that range sheep in a world full of coyotes and bobcats and mountain lions. We just were unloading shingles in a pile along a river to be burned later on or something. I don't know what they're doing with them, but we were told to put them there, taking them off a roof of wooden shingles. Probably people will pilfer them for kindling for their fire. But anyway, we were just piling them. Not more than 100 feet away, they killed a mountain lion about an hour later. So while we were doing that, there was probably a mountain lion sitting there watching us. So the reality is there are lots of dangers out there in the world. And if you're going to be of the flock of Christ, you need to come together, because range sheep learn to come together, because that's their major defense. Because you raise the ante so that the predators don't come near a herd of sheep that looks like one solid creature that has 100 eyes or 1,000 eyes looking out in all different directions. So, but now goats, they are scattered. They all run around, and And goats make obnoxious noises. If you, when we would butcher a sheep, we would do it the old ways, and by the letting of blood. And we would take them underneath the tree in the orchard and lay the sheep down. It would just lay down, and then you slit its throat and let it bleed out, and it just lays there and does this without fighting or anything. But if you're going to kill a goat to eat a goat, they're going to scream, they're going to yell, they're going to make all kinds of noise. And I always remembered when I was going to kill a sheep or a goat, I would tell my kids who might be playing in the yard, I'm going to butcher this sheep or this goat. And if it was a sheep, they would just keep playing. But if it was a goat, they would leave town. They would disappear. Because goats make a terrible racket. They scream, they fuss, they struggle. But sheep go to slaughter very easily, very peacefully. And of course, that's why, you know, these characteristics in these animals are why they use them in metaphors. Christ went to the crucifixion willingly for a purpose, to set up the kingdom, to actually take the kingdom away from one group of people who were not bearing fruit. That's what he says. And to appoint it to his little flock and to other people who would bear fruit. And the reason they did not bear fruit is because they were covetous, they were selfish, they were greedy, they were not walking in the ways of Christ, and therefore they had sight taken away from them. Remember, Christ said, I come to give sight to the blind and take away sight from those who say they see. They say they see. They think they see, they say they see, but they don't see, and they, what sight they do have is taken away, so they cannot see dangerous things coming, they cannot see destruction coming, they can't see the freight train. They think the light at the end of the tunnel is the tunnel, and it's actually a freight train hauling towards them, and they can't see it because they refuse to see the truth. And sight is taken away from them, just like the talent was taken away from the guy who didn't use it. And these are principles that apply in everybody's life in all of creation. So, anyway, what is it that we may say we see, but do not see, and therefore will have more sight taken away from us? And this is where this whole article, you can read the article at preparingyou.com and just look for goats and sheep and just type that in the search engine and you'll find the article. And we'll post it eventually with sound files, and more links have been going into it. I just added to it again today, even after the earlier shows. And it all kind of started with people saying, you know, following what they think is the teachings of Paul. And it's not really the teachings of Paul. It's pick and choose the teachings of Paul. And one of the reasons why they don't understand Paul, there are many reasons. One of the reasons is because they think Paul's talking to them, because they already think they're Christians, because they think their opinion about God and Christ is what makes them a Christian, that that's their religion, that's their faith. But that's not really what religion is. Religion is how you perform your duty to God and your fellow man, because that's why Christ said so much about doing, not those who say, but those who do it. It doesn't mean that you are saved by works, you're still saved by grace, but if you're not repenting and turning around and following the way of Christ, then you're not saved, and you're actually headed towards destruction, and you will be divided out like those goats who are sent to perdition. And I'm not a fire and brimstone guy. It doesn't do any good if you decide to do what is right because you're afraid of hell or something. You have to do what is right because you love what is right. That is key. You love God, you love your neighbor, and you love what is righteousness. And that is honor and probity. And that is what faith is really all about. So anyway, in the course of discussing this on Facebook and evidently angering some people I've known for years, because I'm getting more and more blunt in my old age and just telling it like it is, and they didn't kick me off the group, but they deleted the entire conversation. They didn't want anybody to read these things that I was saying, and which is clear evidence that they're afraid of the truth, because if what I was saying was lies, then it'd be easy to prove me wrong. But they deleted the whole thing. But I knew they were going to do this. I had a premonition. And so I copied everything anyway. And I've put it in on this web page in one form or another. Try to make it a little easier reading. But also in the course of all this, I found a quote. Somebody else found it and showed it to me, of California State Supreme Court Justice Janice Rogers Brown, which I now have several quotes from her in this article. And she said, regarding Social Security, today's senior citizens bitterly cannibalize their grandchildren because they have a right to get as much free stuff as the political system will permit them to extract. Now, my son put that up on his Facebook, and we had lots of people, even some of our relatives, were immediately, oh my gosh, that's terrible. Oh, I don't agree with that. These people pay, you know, my parents paid into this for years and years and years and years, and they have a right to take their money back out again. Well, in the article, we take you step by step through how the Social Security system works, and we link to other articles that tell you even more details with lots of footnotes so that you can actually look this stuff up yourself. Because so many people, they've joined the Social Security system, and they have one in Australia and Canada and England and South America and Santo Domingo. Everybody's got one, and they're all bankrupt. They're all bankrupt. They have nothing, and that's something I've pointed out many times. And it is so unique to understand when somebody says this, a lot of people need to be reminded. Social Security systems everywhere are bankrupt. Social Security systems have been around since the days of Cain and Nimrod and Egypt. And they have a number of different names, but one name in particular that sticks out in most ancient writings is Corban. And it's Corban and Corban and Corban with a K. And it's spelled a lot of different ways, but it almost always comes out to that sound of Corban. And Corban, which is a Kuf Resh Biet Nun in the Hebrew language, means sacrifice. It's actually from a word that specifically means sacrifice. And what it was in societies is people sacrificed something that they had to help out the needy of their society. And that was how you performed your duty to God and your fellow man, because people need help. You know, widows, orphans, disabled people, they need help. And we have a duty to help them. And if we do that, our society will be nurtured. It will grow. And it's just like part of your body. You know, if you're digesting food and you go in swimming, suddenly you need to move blood down to your muscles and you need to shut the digestion off. If your body doesn't do that, you will cramp up and drown. And so your body has to freely restrict the activity over here to help out with a more important activity over here. Because the whole body will die if you cramp up and drown. So it's the same way in society, that sometimes, you know, there's a fire over here or a flood over here or a famine over here. And society has to come to the aid of that part of the whole body or nation to help them out, lest the whole nation become weak and die and be overcome by disease or invaders or what have you. So this coming together and working together as a body is absolutely essential in the scheme of creation. And a lot of people want to form home churches and stuff and just go off and do their own little congregation. Big mistake. Oh, I got my friends, my little circle. No, that's not what God preached. That's not what Christ preached. That's not what Abraham preached or Moses or any of them. They preached a kingdom where people were networked all over the country, even all over the world, so that they would come to each other's aid. Now, how do you know who to network with? How do you know who your brethren is? How do you know who has the same principles? Well, that's what we talk about, and understanding that is part of the keys of the kingdom. So, but the world has another system. They get you to sign up to a contract and you enter in, and then you have to make that sacrifice, that korban. You have to do it, or men will come to your house and beat you up. They'll arrest you, they'll kick in your door, they'll fine you, they'll take your house away. I heard yesterday about a widow lady in Pennsylvania, and she wasn't real old. I mean, she was probably, you know, it's hard to tell just by looking at her, but I suspect she could be in her 50s, early 50s, at least now. But her husband and her were buying a house, and her husband died, and suddenly she was in financial straits, and she was paying off the mortgage, and she was able to do that with her husband's insurance. So she owned the house free and clear, but everything she had was put into paying off the mortgage. But she still had to pay the taxes. And so she was trying to pay the taxes and earn the money to pay the taxes. And lo and behold, something happened. She fell behind on the taxes. But she got more work and she got caught up and finally paid all the taxes. And then she lost the house anyway. Now, why did she lose the house anyway? Evidently, a couple years before, and she didn't realize this was happening. A couple years before, there was a fine because she was late with paying the taxes. So there was a fine of $6.30. And she didn't see it. She overlooked it. And she didn't pay it. And then in a few short years, the interest of that got up to over $200. $200. Now, this place is worth over $200,000. And the state took it from her and sold it to somebody else before she could do anything about it. Now, they said they sent out all the notices, but she didn't understand what was being sent out. It's kind of like getting a hospital bill. You don't always understand what it all says. And by the way, those of you people who are on the Living Network, we just sent out some really great information on how to lower your hospital bills and doctor bills by half to a third of what they are normally. And how to deal with insurance companies, how to deal without insurance companies, everything. It's by a doctor. And he gives this information away basically for free. And it's great stuff. And we have ministers. All our ministers should be learning how to negotiate a hospital stay down. We have done this where the church has paid the hospital bill in order to bring the bill down to a fraction of what it was before. And hopefully we'll get better and better at it, because most of what you get in a hospital bill, most, the vast majority of what you see on a hospital bill is absolutely unnecessary to pay for. You can pay half of that or less, and it will all be paid for. But I can't explain that all on a radio program, which is why you want a network with other people who care about you as much as you care about yourself. And you have to do the same for them. And this is one of those keys of the kingdom. But anyway, so she lost the house. She finally went to court for 2 years, paid lawyers lots and lots of money, and then way more than $6.30, way more than $200. But eventually now she doesn't get the property back, but she is now going to get a hearing that she didn't get before. And I assume that she's still going to have to pay all kinds of fees, plus lawyers and everything. This is a widow. And the only reason we got it in the news is she was successful to get it back, because the other guy who's bought it now at the state sale, he owns it. He said he would go away if she just paid him another $165,000, which is what he paid for to get the house. He paid $165,000 at a state auction to get a house that a woman lost because she owed $6.30 and didn't realize it. Wow. You know, your system is robbing widows and orphans, and God talks about that. And I can name you, just go one after another. Another woman lost a piece of property worth over $150,000 because her husband died and she couldn't pay the taxes. She had a bunch of kids and she couldn't pay and take care of the kids. And she was just almost to a mental breakdown, you know, dealing with her husband's death and the kids and the bills and everything, and nursing her husband as he was dying. And the county came and took her land away from her, put her on government subsistence, turned around and sold the land for 15 times what the taxes were owed on it. If they had really cared about that widow, they would have allowed, and she couldn't afford it because she owned it, she just couldn't pay the taxes. They would have either helped her pay the taxes, or they would have helped her sell the property for a sizable sum, which had been over $200,000. Ended up selling for like $140,000 or $150,000, and because it was at a tax sale, and she would have been able to keep her home and raise her children. But instead, greedy men took it all away in your name, because that's your government. That was in Idaho. We can go down to Florida. I can go over to Massachusetts. You know, and this is not my business, but I find out about these things all over the place. They're happening every day. Foreclosures are skyrocketing, some from banks, but many from tax foreclosures. And there would be more tax foreclosures, except for the fact that banks don't usually let that happen, and almost every land is mortgaged somewhere. But anyway, that comes from a system where there isn't the hue and cry, where people don't care about one another as much as they are supposed to, according to Christ. And so, but how does that relate to Social Security cannibalizing people? Back to that system of Corbin at the time of Christ. You pay in, and the ministers of the system of Corbin take care of the needy. There are two systems of Corbin in the world today. One is by states that exercise authority one over the other, and the other one is by churches who take care of the daily ministration. Well, I don't know many churches that will take care of the daily ministration. I don't know many societies or communities that would do that voluntarily. But I don't know many societies or communities that are free. And that is exactly what's happening in the world today, that they're not free because of that. So that when you talk about somebody saying that the system was cannibalized, what's happened is you've signed up for a system, you've paid money in, that's your sacrifice, that's your casting your bread upon the waters. There's no guarantee it comes back to you. Some people were saying, well, they paid in all of they should get that money back. It's gone. They're bankrupt. Every Social Security system, some people, I just read somebody said today that, well, the Social Security system is still solvent. It still has enough money coming in to pay everything. Social Security system is bankrupt. There isn't enough money to pay the bills because there is no division of funds. And we have an article that shows you Supreme Court ruling after Supreme Court ruling that Social Security is not a separate fund. It's one common purse. One purse. And you should read our quotes on the page about purse. One purse. But anyway, she says that we're cannibalizing our children. And so I ask, are we cursing our children? Second Peter says, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart, they have exercised with covetous practices cursed children. Okay, now it's Peter, New Testament, telling you. I had a guy say, well, I don't follow Peter, I follow Paul. Paul was just following Christ, and he was writing to people who were listening to Peter and listening to Christ and doing what Christ said. And so when he talks to those people about Christ dying for us, he's talking about repentant souls. He's not talking about souls that have not yet repented. Repented of what? Coveting, adultery, making agreements with unbelievers, which Paul says we don't have. And, of course, all these people who think they're following Paul, they have all kinds of agreements with unbelievers. They've sworn all kinds of oaths. They apply for benefits that create constructive contracts, all of which we talk about in the book Covenants of the Gods. And we have some pertinent links on this page to some of those articles. But what you're doing by taking those benefits, since all these systems are bankrupt, is you're cursing your children. And we've talked about that before. But it's important in the context of this to understand that. So we're talking about this Corbin of the Pharisees. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father and mother, it is Corbin, in other words, neglect his duty to his father and mother, because Jesus had been talking about that Exodus 20:12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days be long upon the land, which the Lord thy God has given thee. Of course, now you don't own the land anymore, another whole subject. But the word honor means to fatten, to make heavy, to increase. And that means you should be paying and financing and taking care of the needs of your parents. And actually, a lot of people say, well, how would we get the money? If your parents were taught how to do this, which the church should teach you, right now you have 14 to 15% of the money that you make every year, wherever you work, is taken out to pay Social Security, about 7% by you and 7% by your employer. And if you're self-employed, you have to pay the whole amount. And if you did that, everybody did that and put it in a fund where it was invested in a secure mutual fund, you would have 2, 3, 4 times as much money set aside than they have in Social Security. Because Social Security, one person wrote, But they're supposed to invest that money. So we have money when we, you know, they don't invest any of that money. All that money as it comes in goes back out again to pay for other benefits. And that's the way it's always been, even when Corbyn was voluntary. Free will offerings. The money was to go in and take care of the needy today. And then it would go in tomorrow and take care of the needy tomorrow. And when you needed help, your sons and daughters would take care of you. And if you understood that and lived by that way, you would raise your children in a different way. And your children would see you taking care of your grandparents. I had somebody, I won't mention who it was, somebody I know very close, that her parents were going to put her grandparents in a home, at least one of them, in a home. And she said, well, give me the address of that home so that when you're old, I'll know where to put you. Guess what? The children didn't put the grandmother in the home. They took care of her until she passed away. But they needed that incentive to be reminded. And if we were all taking care of our parents and taking care of our neighbors and caring about one another, we could do a lot better job than Social Security does. Because you know that Social Security payment in relationship to what you pay in is a negative number. Most of it never goes to you. You'll never get it back. I don't, if you live to be 100, you might get it back if you've already retired. But if you retire now, you'll probably never get it back. Never, ever get it back. And so where does it go? Well, it goes to bureaucracy, and it goes here and there. The margin is growing rapidly. Less and less for more and more. And, of course, that seems to be what America wants to do, is pay more and more for less and less. And, well, they've come to the right store, because that's where they're going. Thieves and robbers have broken into your system of Social Security and eaten it up. Robbers, moths have devoured it. And so that's where you're at. And, of course, Christ was talking about these same things, because there was a Social Security fund at that time. And I can also go on, as some even imagine that Justice Janus's statement is not fair because people were told they were to get it back when they retired. People also want to imagine that it is not their fault. The money they put in wasn't well managed. Absolutely, it is their fault. They all can vote. They all elected this. You see, it's funny because if you read the Bible over and over again, that they tell you that it's not going to work out in your favor if you do this. That it's actually going to be working out against you. In Proverbs 1:10, which is the Old Testament, but they're telling you, Proverbs is full of good advice. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. In other words, if people who are greedy for gain offer you a deal, don't consent. Don't sign up. Don't go with them. If they say, come with us, let us all lay wait for blood. What is blood? That's your sweat and your toil. Let us lurk privately, cleverly, secretly, for the innocent without cause. In other words, we're going to make somebody pay for our social welfare, even though they haven't done anything to deserve having to pay for it. You know, like, and I gave an example earlier that if I had sent my kids to school, it would have caused a tax burden on my community of over $500,000, because I got lots of kids. And I sent them each to school for 12, 13, 14 years and made the government pay for it. That means I'm making my neighbor pay for it. I'm lurking privately for gain because I'm going to get all this education and I'm only going to pay about $40,000 in taxes. I'm going to get $500,000 worth of education. I don't want to shake anybody up, but the education that you would get, it's not really worth $500,000. Actually, it'd be worth $500,000 to you if you didn't go send your kids to that school because they're teaching them all kinds of lies and misconceptions. And I mean, it's just horrible. You guys haven't studied school books like I have, but take my word for it. You don't want your kids in there for a number of reasons. But it says, let us swallow them up alive. Swallow them up alive? That sounds like cannibalism. As the grave, whole as those that go down into the pit, we shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our house with spoils. Spoils, lest anybody spoil you. We'll see that later in another quote. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. Socialism. One common purse. From each according to his means. And then to each according to his need. That's socialism. And then you hope that we'll be secure because we'll have all these people backing us. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. In other words, take the blood of my neighbor for my benefit. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of the bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privately for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy for gain, which take away the life of the owners thereof. Greedy for gain. Why did anybody sign up for this system except they thought it would benefit them? But nobody counted out at whose expense. The government's not paying. My neighbor's paying. So I've got a widow lady, almost 90 years old, worked hard all her life. She can barely pay her taxes on her property. And now she can get a deferment, but they will own her house when she dies. Is that robbing widows and orphans? You betcha. Policy in America. And America thinks it's a Christian nation. Well, that's crazy. But anyway, you know what we're missing? We're missing a good break here. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back to Keys to the Kingdom after this brief break. Things seem to be going wrong in the world today. Every aspect of our lives seems to be under attack sometimes. Many struggle to make sense out of it. What is really going on? Identifying the problem is critical to any solution. Many people claim to have answers. But what is the truth? What works? What has worked in the past? History does repeat itself, and you must learn from it. You have choices. We cannot change the course of history, but we may change our role in it. All roads lead to Rome. All roads lead to the kingdom of God. The question is, which way are you going? Join us to make sense out of it all for an iconoclastic look at the world yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and hear about the keys of the kingdom. Well, one of the things that Jesus is talking about, laying not up for yourself treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. So he's not saying don't lay up treasures upon the earth. He's saying don't do it where moths and rust and thieves and robbers can break in and steal. He says lay up treasures in the kingdom. Now, he's not against saving. He's not against stocking up wood before the winter or anything like that. He's talking about this system of Corbin. He'd been talking about that several times, not coveting your neighbor's goods. And I'm amazed at the number of people who think, well, I pay into Social Security, so it's not coveting my neighbor's goods. But they don't take the time to find out that the money you paid in was to take care of the needy. And like I said, you should do that. But you should have been doing it by free will offerings, not compelled offerings. Like Saul was removed. He was told he would lose his kingdom because he forced a sacrifice. Corbin, sacrifice, offering contribution, taxes, sacrifice. All same thing. Different word, same thing. Okay? And the taxes or the offerings or the contribution in Israel was free will offerings. The offerings and sacrifice and contribution in the early church were free will offerings, but the church was a government. Jesus took the kingdom away from one group, as he said he would, going to point it to another group, which he did. That group was Jews, by the way. The apostles were all Jews. The 120 in the upper room were almost all Jews. most everybody who was converted in those first few days of Pentecost, 1,000 here, 2,000, 3,000 people at a day, and those are probably actually families, as they're not talking about all the little children, they're talking about the heads of the family were baptized, and they were all Jews. Yeah, I still hear Christians say, well, the Jews didn't accept Jesus, and so the kingdom was postponed. Where are you making this stuff up? Those are all Jews accepting him. Even Rome accepted him. This is the king of the Jews. These are the ones that do contrary to the decrees of Caesar and say there is another king, one Jesus. How many times? Daily ministration, whose job is that? Government. And it was the job of the church. But they did it with free will offerings, what Paul calls the perfect law of liberty. All these people telling me they're following Paul, they're not following the perfect law of liberty. They're praying to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other to get their benefits, their daily bread. They're praying to the fathers of the earth, which you can go to that website and it'll take you to a link and show you who the fathers of the earth were. Almost nobody's telling you this stuff. You can get it at His Holy Church, but you can't get it anywhere else. But anyway, I go on President, I'm quoting here. I'm actually quoting from the foreword by Francis Perkins, who was the Secretary of Labor and back in 1933 and through 1945, the Development of Social Security Act by Edwin E. White. This is in the part, this is the pre-pages of, I think it's 7, in the foreword. And this is the guy who devised the system of Social Security. And on page 936, let's read this first quote from the foreword. President wanted everybody covered for every contingency in life, cradle to grave. He called it under social insurance system, but the government of the United States is not an insurance company, so it could be done. In other words, Social Security insurance is not insurance. It's not insurance. Right there in the foreword by the Secretary of Labor. By the book of the guy who devised the system, is telling you it's not insurance. It's no more insurance than Paris, Texas is Paris, France. I think they even got Eiffel Towers in Paris, Texas, but they're none of them as big as the one in France. Because you're not really in Paris. You're in Paris, Texas, different place. So you're not really signing up for insurance. It's not insurance. They don't have to pay you a dime, but you have to keep paying into them. It's a really stupid deal, but everybody signed up for it because nobody read the fine print. And all your preachers were in there singing your songs and not realizing that Christians died because they refused to sign up for the same systems in Rome and Greece and Judea and North Africa and all over. I can show you case after case. They refused to sign up for the welfare systems of Rome because they were based on force. Right away from John the Baptist, two places you see in the different Gospels, John the Baptist, until John the Baptist, everybody's trying to do it by force, but John said, no, you got two coats, share, do the same thing with meats, do the same thing with breads, do the same thing with everything. He was creating a system of love, not force. You wonder why your government forces you to do all kinds of things you don't want to do. You've been forcing your neighbor to do all kinds of things he doesn't want to do. You need to find neighbors who want to care for one another, actually do love one another as Christ loved them, actually are doing what Christ said, and you need to find them now, and you need to find them in numbers and as many as possible in a very short period of time. Link them all together in a network of love, and love is hard to build. It grows slow. You have to work at it. And you can pay every single hospital bill. And the truth is, you won't have as many hospital bills. You'll have instantaneous healings. You'll have remedies and solutions that will make you better. You know, I broke my thumb last Tuesday. I mean, I broke it till it was in the shape of an L. And, I mean, I couldn't hardly do anything with it. I put it back into place. That was pretty painful. I can tell you, you don't want to do that very often. I'm walking around without no cast or anything. I spent 2 days this week putting a roof on. A house. Metal roof on a 2-story house. I was just outside loading bales a little bit ago. How'd that get healed up? There's a secret to that. There's a secret to it. You want to know the secret? Join the Living Network. Because we got to get moving on this. Anyway, on page 936 of this same book, all the way through page 946 of the Ways and Means hearing, the originator stated that the system was sold as if it were insurance. That's a quote. It was a mistake and should not have been published as such that it was insurance. It shouldn't have been done. They said, oh, it was a mistake. It was published somewhere. Because it was not insurance. It was not until 1953 when the originator admitted it, I mean the originator of this system, which was this Edmund Witt, that it was not insurance, and it was published in 1936, to be like insurance is not being insurance. And so basically it was not insurance. And as I was saying, that this was in chapter 4, you can read about this in Covenants of Gods in more detail. And all that is free online, along with extra audios and everything. So but you have to understand how the system works. This is the system that Christ said made the Word of God to none effect. Anyway, in the article here that I've written, Goats and Sheep, it goes on and shows you that 2%, minus 2% rate of return from Social Security. If you took the same money and you put it in a low interest bearing or a secure fund, you would have 2 to 3 times. You'd have millions of dollars by the time you retired. And you could share this. If you did this through the church, you could, I mean, the church doesn't hold the funds, you hold them, but they could help manage it so that if you would be, and they would only be paid free will offerings. You never want to put your ministers on a salary. You know, they should be free will offerings. Most people don't know how that early church was organized. If you organize it so they're wealthy, you'll get the wrong men in office. It has to be men who love service, not love money. And that's very important. But anyway, I have another quote here. We no longer find slavery abhorrent. We embrace it. We demand more. Big government is not just the opiate of the masses. I should put a link in there to our own article on religion being the opiate of the masses. It is the opiate. The drug of choice for multinational corporations and single moms, for regulated industries and rugged Midwestern farmers and militant senior citizens. Big government is the opiate of the people. And why is that? You remember where that originally came from? Religion is the opiate of the people. That's what the communists all said. Religion can be the opiate of the people. But government is now in the religion business. Because remember, I have to keep going back and reminding you of this, because they have redefined words. They have done this over and over again. They've redefined words. And these quotes are from the same person, which is this Chief Justice, Janice Rogers Brown, one of my favorite people now. It is my thesis today that the sheer tenacity of the collectivist impulse, whether you call it socialism or communism or altruism, has changed not only the meaning of our words, but the meaning of our Constitution and the character of our people. And that's really important. And I've got 4 or 5 articles coming out on News Views on the meaning of words, and one of those words is religion. We've changed the meaning of religion from the performance of our duty to God and our fellow man to what we think about God. And that has changed the character of the people, the character of society, and the way we look at everything. It certainly has changed the character of the Constitution, or at least the way we examine the Constitution. Of course, I'm not the constitutionalist that Mrs. Brown, Miss Brown, or Mrs. Brown, I don't know which it is, is. But the Constitution exists, and it's there to regulate government. It's not there to regulate people, because the people weren't at one time even a party to it. So anyway, if we continue to look at this article of goats and sheep, we go into another part of this where we're talking about forced charity is not love. These systems operate by legally enforcing the contributions. So therefore, you're no longer operating by charity. You're no longer operating by free will offerings. You're no longer operating by love. And I've pointed this out many times. Every time Paul uses the word that we see as charity, when Christ uses that word, they translate it love. And I point out a verse where Paul says, if I give everything I have to the poor, and I have not charity, I've got nothing, he says. You don't have charity, tinkling of the cymbals, that's what he says you are. Wait a minute, now you gave everything you had to the poor, and how could you not have charity? Isn't that what charity is, giving stuff away to the poor? No, that's not what it is. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, if you have not love, and love and charity, because it's not always charity, it isn't always love, to give away to the poor, because you can weaken the poor that way, and there's a lot more to it. We talked about it in another recording, and we'll talk about it again. But I'm going to go on here and read another quote to you. We talked about that Plutarch quote a number of times, but the greatest destroyers of liberty are the givers of gifts, gratuities, and benefits. And that is because they don't give them freely. Freely given, freely received is the policy of Christ. But not freely given, not freely received, is the policy of the Pharisees and the apostate Christians and the modern Christians, because they give their contributions into their religion, which is Social Security, because that's how they take care of the needy of their society, and that's what the word meant. So they give contributions to their priests in the Social Security office, and the Social Security, that's their ministers. That's how they take, that's what those ministers, that's what the Levites were doing. With the contributions, they were taking care of the needy. That's what they were doing in Rome. When you gave to the temples, that's where you went to get your free bread. That's where you went and registered your children so that they would be obligated to pay the debt if there was debt, but they would also receive the benefit if there was anything to give. And that's a system of Corbin not cast up. That's a system of Corbin of social welfare that makes the word of God to none effect. So anyway, the real destroyers of liberties are the ones who offer those systems, and people gobble them up like a jackass following a carrot on a string. It'd go a long ways, but eventually that, you know, he'll drop dead because he's not getting anything. He'd keep hanging out there. He's certainly not fattening his mother and his father. He's actually saying, well, I don't have to take care of them. They got Social Security. You're not taking care of your parents, then you're not in the kingdom of God. If you're not trying to do that, you're not seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Some things are apparent. This is the quote. Where government moves in, community retreats. Civil society disintegrates, and our ability to control our own destiny atrophies. I mean, I should read this about 5 times in a row. The result is families under siege, war in the streets, unapologetic expropriation of property, like when you take away some lady's property because she owes $6.30. You take away her house because she owed $6.30. Levi couldn't do that. Early Christian minister couldn't do that. And he was supplying all the welfare for the people. No, precipitous decline of the rule of law. Rapid rise of corruption, the loss of civility, and the triumph of deceit. The result is debased, debauched culture which finds moral depravity entertaining and virtue contemptible. That's right, they mock the virtuous, and they look at moral depravity and call it entertainment. Does this sound familiar? Why is this? The root cause is we have stepped away from following the ways of Christ, which when he said love one another, he meant it. He didn't say love one another from the pew and think real nice thoughts about your neighbor and cut and paste quotes from the Bible on all your emails and think flowery thoughts. They have crept into your teachings. This, by the way, that's one of those same quotes again from the same lady. One of my favorite people now. You know, I actually go through and I quote how many times. If you go Leviticus 19:18, Moses says, to love thy neighbor as thyself. Matthew 5:43, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Matthew 19:19, Matthew 22:39, Mark 12:31, Mark 12:33, he repeats it twice there in a row. Love thy neighbor as thyself is more than all the burnt offerings of the sacrifice, which of course Jesus didn't even approve of, and the Essenes at that time would have nothing to do with, because they said that all this burning up of animals, they saw it as a fiction and fraud. Studying the same Torah that all you Messianic Jews are going back and studying, they're saying that the burning up of dead animals on piles of stone was a fiction and a fraud, and they were speaking Hebrew and studying the Torah. And you think that you're going to get back to the Old Testament of Moses by following the ways of the Pharisees. Not so. It's the principles, not the metaphor. Stop worshiping the metaphor and start following in the ways of God. Start loving your neighbor as yourself. I don't care if you keep a feast of tabernacles. If you go away and you don't have a network of people to be there for you when the next nuclear power plant goes Fukushima on the East Coast, and you don't have a place to go because you didn't network, because you didn't think kingdom, you thought about congregation. You know, we had a congregation out there in the Midwest not far from a power plant, and it looked like it was going to go Fukushima on us. That's become a new word, Fukushima power plants, because you're going to see that more and more here, especially when the big blackout comes. But I don't want to scare you. But wake up. But anyway, we had people all over that would take them in. And we had a congregation kind of separated from us because the minister wanted more and more control over his people, and he didn't want to share anything with anybody else. And he lives not too far. Well, now, if he calls up, guess who's going to get the room first? The extra room that we have in all these different places. It's those that have shown that they persevere into the end, those who work with us. Now, we may find room for those other second comers, late comers, lollygaggers, but those foolish virgins who just kept dancing around and didn't do any of the work, Jesus doesn't even open up the door to them. Figure on it. Anyway, you can go on, all you guys who say you follow Paul and his gospel as if it was different, which it wasn't. Romans 13:9, Romans 13:10, Galatians 5:14, James 2:8. Well, that's not Paul, but same thing. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That means real love, real doing, real ways. Galatians 5:13-15, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another through your systems of Corban that are imposed by doctrines and ordinances, which is actually the word that he uses, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This is where we've gone. And there's a lot more on this page. I could go on and on and on and on and on. And we'll probably add more in the next week or so. But when we add the audios, you can go through and you can listen to this again and again and again. And you can point your neighbors to it and you can start networking. You're going to need that, folks. You're going to need it bad. And you need it bad because it's only by seeking those ways will you be able to put on the full armor of God. And I give you a thumbs up because my thumb's working again. Heal thyself. Let's seek that kingdom. Until next week, may peace be upon your house and God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.